Turn over first to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to give you a moment to get there so that you can read this with me. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read one verse, verse 9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now, in this ninth verse, what do we see? Well, we see that Paul is praying for the people who are hearing this letter being read, and he said, "Look, I want you guys to know that I'm praying for you, and I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." First off, he cannot be talking about God's will relative to people being born again, because these people were already born again. And we know from the things that Paul taught that these people would have been Spirit-filled as well. So that means that when he talks about His will, he is going beyond just, you need to be born again, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He's talking about God's will, let's say it this way, for them as a church, but also for them as individuals. And he says, "I want you to understand His will, to know His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So what we see here is the fact that we can know God's will. And not only that, but we can also come to the place of operating in the wisdom of that will and understanding the wisdom of that will, along with grasping the spiritual perspective of that will. Because he says here, in all spiritual understanding. What does that mean? Well, spiritual understanding is a whole lot different from natural understanding. Simple illustration. The natural mind cannot understand what praying in tongues is all about. Bottom line, the natural mind is going to rationalize this thing out. The natural mind is going to listen to those sounds that come out of your mouth and say, "Well, that's really not God. You really didn't get the Holy Ghost. It's really not the Holy Spirit. You're really not praying in tongues," and all this other. That's the natural mind. But the spiritual understanding says, "Now, wait a minute. I prayed to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and I started speaking in tongues. I didn't know what that noise was and what all those sounds were coming out of me, but that happened when I prayed to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and therefore this thing is of God. And I don't care, natural mind, what you understand or what you don't understand. From the spiritual perspective, with spiritual understanding, this thing's of God. When I pray in tongues, it's God by the Holy Spirit praying through me according to what He wants me to pray." So there's right there is one simple illustration and example of the difference between the natural mind or the natural understanding and the spiritual understanding. Now let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29. One verse. Verse 11. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God says, "I know what I'm thinking toward you. Good thoughts, not bad thoughts. And thoughts to give you an expected end." When He talks here about an expected end, think of it this way. I know the beginning from the end, and my thoughts toward you are good thoughts, and incorporated in these thoughts includes an expected end. Everything that I know about you according to my plan and how it's all supposed to end. What I want you to accomplish. Kind of like where Paul was writing, and he's getting near his death, like when he wrote to 2 Timothy, when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy. How he wrote that, you know, "Well, you know, I've run my race, you know, finished the course," that kind of a thing. In other words, God knows how it's supposed to be for you and for me when it comes to finishing our course and running our race. He knows what the end is supposed to be like. Okay, now, if He knows what the end is supposed to be like, don't you think He also knows the in-between? I mean, from where we are right now to that end. That's the in-between part. He knows it all. He says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you." So God's up in heaven, and He's sitting there, and He's thinking of His will for you. And not just His will relative to Are you going to be a mighty apostle? I mean His will for every aspect of your life. Everything about you. Now here's the this was going to blow your mind. The whole time He's up there thinking that way about me, He's thinking that way about every one of you. How can He do that? I don't know. But He can. I guess that just, you know, comes with the job when you're God. You can just do those kinds of things. Hallelujah. So God's thinking about His perfect will and His perfect plan for everybody. What that plan is for you from right now all the way through to the end, the way that He has designed the conclusion of your work here on earth. Okay? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think He wants you to know this? Do you think He wants you to know this information? Sure He does. All right, then that brings up, let's just call it an age-old problem in the body of Christ. God, what is Your will for me? Now, I know none of you are struggling with that. But there's a lot of people out there who are. I want to know what God's will is for my life. Okay? Well, we've already established the fact that we can know His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Otherwise, Paul would never have written that back there to the Colossians. I mean, why would God inspire somebody to write that if it could never come to pass? So we know then from Scripture, it is possible for us to know God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And not only that, but we also have discovered from Scripture that God already has in His mind that perfect plan from beginning to end. You say, yeah, but I could mess Him up. How are you going to mess Him up? Well, I'll choose something different. He already knows that. So He's already incorporated that into His thoughts for you. Well, okay, Brother Martin, I'll change my mind. Well, He already knows that too. He already knows if you're going to change your mind. So you could stand in front of Him and say, all right, God, what if I choose this over here? And He could say, well, if you choose that over there, then this, and this is what's going to happen. Okay, fine. What if I choose this over here? And He says, well, that's no problem. If you choose this over here, then it's going to be this, and this until you reach this conclusion. Yeah, but, well, what if I don't do either one of them? He says, doesn't matter. I already know. Well, God, didn't You tell me what am I going to do? He says, it ain't that easy. I already know what You're going to do, but You haven't made that decision yet. Well, why don't You tell me? I can't. You say, well, why not, God? He says, because it's Your decision. And You're the one that has to make it. I just know what You're going to do. God, that's not fair. Let me in on this. He says, I'll let You in on my thoughts. And then you make your decisions based on what I tell you. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that does sound kind of fair. Anyway, when it comes to God's will, there are basically two aspects, God's general will and God's specific will. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, God's general will is what you can find in Scripture. And it applies to every single Christian no matter what. No exceptions. None. You say, okay, big deal. I'll give you a big deal. Turn over to Mark. I'm going to give you an example of God's general will for the body of Christ. People say, I just wish I knew what God's will was. I'm going to give you God's will. I'm going to give you two examples here in Scripture of God's the general will. Mark chapter 16. Now look in verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That right there is one example of God's general will for the body of Christ. And that applies to everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. These signs shall follow them that believe. Okay? Now what does that mean? What it means is this. If you're part of a church that teaches that half of this isn't right, isn't for today, then you're going to a church that's telling you that half of God's will is not for today. That is dangerous. People say, well, this laying on of hands stuff, we don't believe in that. But yet it's God's general will for the whole body of Christ. Well, it might have been back then, but it's not for today. Well, if it's not, then how am I going to find out? Well, that's easy. You just come to our church. We'll tell you. Well, where do you get your information from? Headquarters. So we see one aspect of God's general will right here. That we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Speak with new tongues. You see this? Cast out devils. This is a part of God's general will for the entire body of Christ. No exception. That means every church out there is supposed to be teaching this. Because when people start wondering about, well, what's God's will for me? Let's start with God's general will for the body of Christ. You're supposed to be laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. You're able to cast out devils. And not only that, but don't forget the thing about the tongues. This is God's general will for the whole body of Christ. Well, I don't believe it. Okay, if this is God's general will for the whole body of Christ and you don't believe it, then you might as well forget about going too far into His specific will for you, because you're trying to circumvent His general will for the whole body of Christ. It's like you're saying, okay, God, I don't believe this, and I'm not going to operate in this. I mean, that stuff may be for those people back then, but it's not for today. And by the way, what is your specific will for me? How can He tell you? You won't even accept His general will for the body of Christ. Because see, kind of jump ahead a little bit, if you're called to be a pastor, do you know you're supposed to be operating in that general will? You're supposed to be laying hands on people. You're supposed to be speaking with new tongues, casting out devils. Now, if that means you have to fire the whole deacon board, praise the Lord, have at it. Cast the devils out of the church. You're supposed to be operating in the general will of God, no matter what your calling is. Let me show you another example of God's general will. Over in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, look at this. This is talking about Jesus and what He did for us. And it says, speaking about, you know, the gifts that He's given to the body of Christ, verse 11, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, we're not going to go into a whole lot of, side journey teaching here, but this dovetails right in with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and also incorporates helps and governments, along with, you know, the speaking in tongues and so forth, you know, the foundational praying in tongues. So what we see here is God's general will for the body of Christ. There are apostles, there are prophets, there are evangelists, pastors, teachers, helps, governments, okay? This is God's general will for the body of Christ. In other words, God has said, look, here's the body of Christ, here's my will for the body of Christ. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, helps, governments. This is what I've established. This is it. The general will, okay? So now I know the general will. You see this? And there are so many other verses. The general will, for example, by Jesus' stripes you were healed, okay? That's a part of the general will for the body of Christ. But when we talk about the specific will of God, we're talking about something that goes beyond the general will. The specific will is how I fit into the general will, or how I'm supposed to operate within the structure of the general will. Now, let me give you some examples. Turn first to Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, what's happened is this. Paul is out looking to arrest Jews that are professing Jesus. And he has what's referred to as the Damascus Road experience. The Lord appears, the bright light and so forth. And Jesus tells Paul to go and be in a specific house and wait there. And then the Lord speaks to a guy named Ananias. And he says, Ananias, I want you to go and minister to Paul. Well, Ananias was kind of scared to do that because of Paul's reputation, but the Lord reassured him. And in verse 15 it says, But the Lord said unto him, Ananias, go thy way, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That is the specific will. You see this? Because not everybody was called to go before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. Not everybody had that calling. James didn't have that kind of a call. Matthew didn't have that same kind of a call. Paul had, this is a specific calling. Now let's narrow it down even more. Turn to Romans chapter 1. So Paul understands the general will of God. He also begins to grasp the fullness of the specific will of God for him within the structure of the general will. Kings and the Gentiles and the children of Israel and so on and so forth. But now in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, now look at this, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now we see even more specifically what Paul is supposed to be doing. The general will is apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teachers, helps governments. But the specific will for Paul is apostle. See this? So he knows the general will, but now he has identified the specific will. I know all these different categories of ministries and callings, Lord, but I need to know which one I fit into. And he says, all right, well, Paul, you're an apostle. And quite frankly, Paul was also a teacher. He was also a pastor. He was the whole kit and caboodle, praise the Lord. But he was an apostle. So that is an example of the specific will. Let's look at another one over in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, it's talking about Paul and those who were traveling with him. In verse 6, it says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. If you ever wanted an example of the specific will, here it is. The general will is preach the gospel to the world, okay? The general will is apostle, prophet, evangelist, etc., and so forth. The specific will is, for Paul now, to appear before the Gentiles, kings, the children of Israel, and an apostle. And now we're breaking it down even more minutely because he was trying to fulfill what he was called to do. He was trying to be an apostle to go into these areas, Gentile areas, Jew areas, Jewish areas, and so forth. And it says here, you know, we were, verse 6, you know, we were going to go into Asia, but couldn't do that. Then in verse 7, it says, well, we were going to go into Bithynia, but, you know, couldn't do that either. Then had a vision and figured out God wanted us to go to Macedonia. So we went to Macedonia. That is an example of the specific will of God. Now, some people might say, well, I'll tell you what, I guess if you're an apostle Paul, it's that easy. What do you mean that easy? Well, you know, I mean, God's just going to show up and tell you things and shine bright lights and send visions and everything. And you're going to know what to do. But, you know, poor old dinky me, I don't have a chance here. I mean, you know, he never tells me anything. Well, wait a minute. How sure are you about that? Let's take a look here. Remember, there is a specific will and there is a general will. You can go through Scripture and find out the general will for the body of Christ. Listen, you go back over there and you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there's a whole lot of general will for the body of Christ in there. Likewise, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I mean all throughout. The general will is identified in God's Word. But there is a specific will for each one of us, and we fit into that, and we know that God has already told us through Paul that we can know His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So now, with that being the case, we can't look at Paul and say, well, Paul is an exclusive. I mean, it was easier, better, and all this other for him than for me. That's not true. Because God needs you to know His specific will for you. He needs you to know this. He's got to have you know this. Because if you don't know this, okay, think of it like this. You know what? There's only so many teeth you can pull out of your head before it becomes very difficult to chew. Now, you pull one or two out, maybe all right. But you start pulling out 8, 9, and 10, and it's going to be pretty hard for you to chew anything. You say, what on God's green earth does that have to do with knowing God's... Okay. You take one or two people that don't know the specific will, A lot of things are still going to get done. But you take a church full of people that don't know the specific will and multiply that by bazillions of churches, just say thousands of churches, which is more true than what we want to believe. You know what? You're going to have a whole lot of God's specific will that's not being accomplished here on earth. And you're going to have a whole lot of God's general will that's not accomplished here on earth. Can you see this? This is why it is absolutely imperative that we know God's specific will. We can know His general will. If we reject any aspect of His general will, it's going to be very difficult for us to really operate in the fullness of His specific will. His specific will, the one that's got your name on it. Okay? So therefore, God needs us to know. It's not a matter of Him sitting back playing games with us. He needs us to know. You say, well, Brother Martin, if He needs us to know so bad, then why doesn't He tell me? Okay? It isn't so much that He doesn't want to tell you. But what it really comes down to is if you don't know how to hear it from Him, you're not going to receive it. Put it another way. If you do not go through the Word of God to find out God's general will on how His specific will is revealed to each Christian, then you're going to try to find out His specific will in all other different kinds of ways that will not produce results. You say, well, Brother Martin, do you know? Yes, I do. Well, Brother Martin, are you going to show me? Yes, I am. Because it's right here. You just read it. Look here. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. And after they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. But what? The Spirit suffered them not. That's verse 7. Now verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word of, in Asia. What do you see here? What is the way God is going to convey His specific will? It's through the Holy Ghost. So how do you know that? This is how Paul knew what to do. He didn't have another brilliant light shine. He didn't hear another voice come through the clouds. He says, the Holy Ghost prevented us. The Holy Ghost stopped us. It wasn't that they weren't... Now listen to this. This might help you out. I don't know. It wasn't that they weren't trying to accomplish the general will. It's just that God's specific will for them was to accomplish the general will in a different way than what they thought it should be done. They thought, well, let's go into Asia. And the Holy Ghost said, you know, they need Jesus like everybody else. That's the general will. But the Father's specific will for you guys is not to go into Asia. Well, okay, then we'll go to Bithynia. The Holy Spirit says, now hold on. The people in Bithynia, they need Jesus just like everybody else. That's God's general will. But His specific will for you is to not go there. Like, well, okay. Well, what do? You wait for further instructions. But that's wasting time. No, it's not. It's waiting for further instructions. Think of it this way, from a military perspective. What if every captain out there decided that they needed to enter the battle the way they thought, instead of waiting for specific instructions from headquarters? You see what I'm getting at here? You'd have chaos, and you'd also have a lost war. They have to wait for general instructions. Why do they have to wait for general instructions or specific instructions from headquarters? It's because headquarters has all the information about everything. And the captains only have information about where they are. And so headquarters has got a way, has got all this information, and they're going to evaluate all the information about the war, and then they're going to contact Captain Number 1 and say, okay, now here's what we need you to do on Hill 457. And they're going to contact Captain Number 2 and say, now here's what we need you to do in this city over here. Now, the captain in the city over here doesn't know what's going on with Captain Number 1 on Hill 457. You see what I'm saying? All they know is, we've got a war to win. And they receive specific instructions from headquarters on how to do this thing. Now, God knows everything. He's got all the information about what's supposed to be done, about how the battles are supposed to be fought and how things are supposed to be accomplished. Our responsibility is to receive from Him our specific instructions on what to do to accomplish the general will of God. The way that information is conveyed to us is by the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at some more scripture here. Turn to John chapter 16. There are just some verses you can't get away from. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Okay, now what truth is He going to guide you into? Well, it's the truth of God's Word, absolutely. But what other truth is He going to guide you into? The specific will that God has for your life. Notice it says He's going to, what He hears, He'll speak what He hears. So think of it this way. Here's the Holy Spirit, and He's the third person of the Godhead, but He's the messenger service, if you will. And so the Father says, now Holy Spirit, you've got Bob over here and Sue over here and Bill over here and all the, and they know the general will, but what you've got to do is go tell Bob to do this, and go tell Sue to do this, and go tell, you know, Steve to do this, and go tell... In other words, He's giving the Holy Spirit the specific will that God has laid out for each person. Then the Holy Spirit will confirm that to each person and pass that information on. You say, well, okay, but He hasn't been doing that for me, Brother Martin. Well, let's think now. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's see if we can come up with a reason for this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now look here in verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might freely know the things that are given to us of God. Now that's not talking about the Spirit that we've received. It's not talking the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the born-again nature. We have received a spiritual nature that is like God's, and it doesn't come from the world. Okay? Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What spiritual things? Relative to this message, what spiritual things? The spiritual things of God's specific will for you. And it says He's comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What's the spiritual at the end of verse 13? It's you. He is comparing the spiritual things of God's specific will to you on a spiritual basis. Look in the next verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Okay, now, what this means is that when the Holy Spirit is conveying to you the information that He has received from God, God's specific will for you in accomplishing His general will, literally for the body of Christ and for all of mankind, that information is conveyed to you on a spiritual level. It is not conveyed to you on a natural level. What I'm doing right now, I'm conveying information to you on a natural level. I'm not conveying information to you on a spiritual level. This is a natural level. And it's coming to you from my natural person to your natural mind. But the Holy Spirit operates in a different area. He operates on a spiritual plane, and He conveys this information to you on a spiritual level. You say, okay, well then, how does He do that? Like you have to ask. Romans chapter 8. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints. How? According to the will of God. What will? General or specific? Both. Really, both. Because if you're struggling in an area of His general will, you know, there are some people that are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, They can speak in tongues, but they still have some real issues with this thing of by his stripes you were healed. It's like there's this block on the inside, and they still have this, well, you know, if it's God's will, you know, for the healing, then, you know, praise God for it. So God's general will is by Jesus' stripes you were healed. Now the Holy Spirit knows you're really having a hard time in that area. So as you begin to pray in tongues, He's going to help you in that area of the general will for the body of Christ to help you come to that understanding. But now when it comes to the specific will for you, when you pray in tongues, He is going to be conveying information to you on a spiritual level that is specifically related to God's specific will for you in this life. The thoughts that He has towards you, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. So He tells the Holy Spirit what these thoughts are. And then you pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit is working with you on a spiritual level. Now this answers the question why a lot of people don't know what God's will is. It's because they're not praying in tongues. Remember, God needs you to know what His will is. He needs you to know this. He needs you to know the general will. See, there are some Christians out there that don't believe that apostles, the ministry of the apostle is still for today. So that's something the Holy Spirit's going to have to get cleared up with you and get you to understand that the ministry of the apostle or the prophet or any other aspect of the general will of God, He's going to work on you to help you get that cleared up. And He's also going to be working on you to help you understand His, God's, specific will for you in this life. So God takes His thoughts and He conveys those to the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit turns around and He begins praying those things in you, with you, through you, as you pray in tongues. But now guess what? If you don't pray in tongues, how are you going to receive that information? You see what I mean? So let me ask you this. If Satan wanted to keep people from understanding what God wants in life, what's one thing he could do? Convince them that this tongues thing is out in left field. Convince them that they can understand God's will in some other way. There are people, Christians, that have asked me, and I'll just kind of generalize the question, what's God's will for me? Would you please pray for me about God's will for me? And that's not specific enough. They're wanting me to tell them, okay? Has God shown you anything about me? You really want me to answer that? About His will. Okay, let me narrow this down. What has God said to you about my will? About His will, you know, for me? And I can't answer that. Unless I get some kind of divine revelation from God, I can't answer that. And here's the thing, there are a lot of Christians, they're wanting somebody to, now look at this, prophesy over them their ministry. Okay? You talk about out there in left field, what do we see in Scripture? What is God's method of releasing information to Christians about His specific will for them? Which would include your calling. It is God gives the information to the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit conveys that to you on a spiritual level. Now, I'm just going to be really kind of like blunt. If you're not praying in tongues, you can come to the place of understanding some aspects of His specific calling for your specific will, okay? You can come to the place of understanding some of it. But when it comes to understanding the full scope of it, like God talked about over there in Jeremiah, an expected end, when it comes to understanding the step-by-step how to get to the expected end, if you're not praying in tongues, it's not going to happen. Well, Brother Martin, that's pretty strong for you to say that. Okay, well now, hold on. What have I shown you in Scripture? And I'll just kind of throw this out to you. I know you can't respond tonight, but can you find anything in Scripture that shows there's another way other than by the ministry of the Holy Spirit? And take your time, look it up. Take a couple of weeks, study the Scriptures and see what you can find and come back and let me know. Show me how there is an alternative to praying in tongues to receive from God these instructions. I haven't found it. Hey, I looked. Before I was into all this, being filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, I looked. I mean, I can't find anything in Scripture that says God's got an alternate plan for the Holy Spirit or other than the Holy Spirit. I can't find it. So what that means is if I'm not praying in tongues, then I'm not going to come to a clear understanding of His specific will. Likewise, if you don't pray in tongues, you're not going to come to the clear understanding of His specific will. And I'm telling you right now, nobody, absolutely no one, no book, no self-help tapes, none of this stuff, no one, no human being, not even the devil himself, is going to be able to give you specific information that originates in the mind of God. Unless God gives that individual divine revelation. And I'm just going to tell you guys, it doesn't happen that much. You know why? It's because if God starts giving to me the specifics for you, you know who you're going to come to, don't you? And you're going to stop praying. And you're going to stop seeking God. You're going to start coming to me. That's why it doesn't work that way. Every now and then, God does work that way through ministers. And they don't have to be ministers. I mean anybody. He can work that way through people. But that is not the rule, and that is not the standard, and it's the Holy Ghost. You've got to do this. You've got to pray in tongues to come to a greater understanding of His specific will. And you guys, as you're listening to this right now, you and I both know that there are all kinds of preachers out there that would scoff at this message and tell me, well, now, you know, you fanatics, you know, you kind of think, and they'd be nice about it. You know, there's some that wouldn't, but there'd be some that would be nice about it, naysayers, and just kind of, you know, be polite, but still come against it. But again, I go back to, show me in Scripture where God has laid out an alternate plan that is so perfect. Show me in Scripture where God has laid something else out that, well, I don't have to do this Holy Ghost tongues thing. I can do this over here. I'm going to get the same results. It's not here. And let's think about this. Remember Jesus, the one that you accepted as your Lord and Savior? Remember what happened when He was baptized, came up out of the water? Who paid Him a visit? And hung around for a long time, didn't He? And as you think in your mind to the Scriptures that convey that story, reveal that story, what's the next major event in His life? Says He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Think about this. The Holy Spirit conveyed to Jesus the specific will of the Father for that moment in time. Go to the wilderness, son. And you need to be fasting for about the next 40 days because there's some heavy stuff coming down. So now, if the Holy Spirit's going to convey that information to Jesus, don't you think the Holy Spirit's going to be the one to convey that information to us about God's specific will? And if God shows us in Scripture, in His Word, that praying in tongues is the way that the Holy Spirit prays through us according to the perfect will of God, then should there be any question in our minds whatsoever when it comes to do we need to pray in tongues? And one of the things that is really frustrating, you know, to me, is to come across Christians that they'll hear a message like this, and it's not that they're anti-be filled with the Holy Ghost kind of people. It's like there is some kind of a block on the inside of them. They just don't get it. And they just won't do it. And they refuse to pray in tongues. For whatever reason, they just refuse to pray in tongues. Really what it is, they're just deceived by the enemy into believing that they don't need to. And you know, I'm going to be very generalized about this, but I've encountered a lot of Christians over the years that have heard messages like this, and they just don't do it. They don't. They just flat out don't pray in tongues. Oh, every now and then, you know, if a car pulls out in front of them and they get all nervous, then they'll shandai for about 5 or 10 minutes. But as far as praying in tongues, like what I'm talking about here in this message tonight, you know, they just don't do it. And their lives end up messed up, confused. It's like one problem after another, one heartache after another. And I'm not saying that every Christian that doesn't pray in tongues is going to have a life filled with heartache. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just telling you what I've seen in some people. And they come to me and they just, it's like they got all these questions. I don't understand and I don't know how come. And it's like, I don't really, it's like, man, get a clue. You've heard these teachings. You need to pray in tongues if you want to understand about what's happening, how to get through what's happening, how to go beyond what's happening, and how to try and prevent it from ever happening again. And you need to stop horsing around, man, and you need to find out what God's specific will is for your life. Because He needs you to know this. And not only that, but relative to this church, well, to a specific church, any individual church, we need you to know. Because what you know, if God's put you in this church, then whatever His specific will is for you somehow fits into what God wants to do in this entire ministry. So every one of you in here, the person next to you, you need that person to know what God's specific will is for their life. Because it's going to have some kind of an impact on you. So if you want to smack them in the head right about now and say, hey, get with it. No, don't do that. You see what I'm saying? Now here's the thing about it, though. You start praying in tongues, and God's going to start giving you this information step by step. He's going to give this information to you one bit at a time. You keep praying in tongues, it becomes more and more clear. It's not going to be, everything's not going to happen overnight. It is a growing learning process. But it starts by praying in tongues. He gives you information, you take the first step. He gives you more information, you take that next step. He gives you more information, you take the next step. You do what He tells you to do. And sooner or later, for some people, maybe not in this room, but you know, hearing this message somewhere along the line, some people, He's going to say, quit your job. He's going to say, move over here, go to this other state, go to this other country, go do this. He's going to give you the specifics. You say, oh, Brother Martin, I hope He never tells me to quit my job. I've got the perfect job. Now, wait a minute. You keep praying in tongues, take one step at a time. By the time you get to the quit your job step, you're going to be ready. This goes back to the natural understanding and the spiritual understanding. See? If you want to know God's general will for the body of Christ, it is revealed in the Bible. If you want to know God's specific will for you in your lifetime, it is revealed by the Holy Spirit. And the more that you pray in tongues, is the more that the Holy Spirit is going to be able to convey this information to you according to God's specific will. He doles out the information the way God wants it released to you, one bit at a time. Then when you receive that, you know what you're supposed to do? Act on it. Do it. Do it. Yeah, but Brother Martin, I mean, I appreciate this, but is there anybody I can talk to at times when I feel like the Holy Ghost has given me something? Yeah, there is. One, me. That's part of the role of being a pastor, is to help the people in the church fulfill what God's called them to do. And, you know, we're going to be spending a lot of time in heaven with everybody who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But there are a whole lot of people that stand behind pulpits and they never teach their congregations these things. And so you've got congregations, churches full of people, in some cases, thousands of people in a church that are going to live their entire lives and never really know the fullness of God's specific will for them. That's sad. But the more we pray in tongues, the more we're going to know. And the more we know, the more we can do. And the more we do, the more we're going to know what it was like for Paul to walk in the perfect will of God. I know he went through a bunch of stuff, but you know what? When you're walking in the perfect will of God, the bad stuff, well, it might hurt, but it's not going to be as bad because you know you're walking where God's told you to walk. Praise the Lord. So if you want to know God's specific will for your life, pray in the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost is going to tell you.